like to go to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Isaiah 43 and 11. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Of course, we know that. We know, of course, Jesus Christ, being God in the flesh, saved us from our sins, saved us eternally. We're also saved here in time so many times, but God, besides God, there is no Savior. A lot of the songs I saw, the words pointed us to the blood that was shed on the cross. It pointed us to the work on the cross and to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and that, and the fact that He is God Himself, part of the Trinity. But the one that came to save us from our sins certainly had to have the ability. He had to be qualified to do that. There were at least two others that were being crucified the same time that Jesus hung on the cross. They were not qualified. They were being executed for crimes that they had been had committed. The Romans crucified thousands of people. Of course, Jesus was not the only man ever, only person ever crucified, but He was the only one qualified and that had the ability to save us from our sins. And yet He did not deserve any of that. And yet He came and did that. He did have the ability. He was qualified. He had the power. And so I want to talk about Jesus Christ being our Savior, but the fact that He was God, He is God, and He was man. He had to be both. In, I believe it's 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy, the third chapter. First Timothy chapter 3, the last verse in that chapter, the 16th verse, says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Then, after the colon there, it says, "God was manifest in the flesh." God was manifest in the flesh. So we know that the incarnate God, a body was prepared Him, and He came. And then I like how that starts out, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. I always think of the Trinity when I think of a mystery, that we somehow, in some ways, understand the Trinity, the three-in-one Godhead, and yet... to then, as I think about the different works of each of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then it sometimes gets difficult knowing that in that office work that they're all God, and that Jesus, in doing what He did and what He does now, then is different from what the Father does, and yet they're all God. I can't comprehend that. Great is the mystery of godliness. The same as in the fact that He came in the flesh, that He was manifest in the flesh. God, being the only Savior, he could have saved us in any way that He so chose. He could have actually even not saved us had He chosen that after the law was broken by Adam. But He did send a suitable sacrifice that would be accepted. And He had to be accepted and that was Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ was fully divine. He was God, deity. He is a deity. He's divine, but he was also fully human, but not sinful. Jesus Christ, when he was walking here, was impeccable. I can't comprehend that of someone walking here on the earth who is without sin, because we know that that's the case, and is getting worse and worse every day. But we see that, and so to imagine someone who walked here and not only never committed a sin, but was not able to commit sin. And as he was tempted, as we are, but without sin. That phrase is such an understatement, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. But God was manifest in the flesh. In the Gospel of John, I want to just bring to your attention some of these different aspects of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the Gospel of John, the first chapter, such familiar words as it starts out this writing here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that's certainly plain if we realize that the word there is Jesus Christ. It's the Son of God, capitalized here in the King James translation. The Word, in the beginning was the Word. So we know it tells us that Jesus Christ was there. He is the eternal Son of God Almighty. He is God Himself. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is God Himself. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So I think it goes without saying anything else that Jesus Christ was God. He is God. He's immutable. He doesn't change. He's not going to regret that He died for somebody. He knows that in fullness that He died for every one of our sins and completed the work, and not being able to lie, He wouldn't have been able to say, "It is finished." The song that Brother Billy selected this morning, "It is finished." He said that, and it was finished there on the cross, because He had the ability. He was God then, and God is the only Savior. The 14th verse right there in this same chapter of John says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I believe it's the 10th chapter of John, I won't go there, but Jesus Christ said, "I and my Father are one." And yet He says He came to do the will of His Father. Those are the things that are hard to understand. He and His Father are one, yet He's the only begotten Son. He is God, but He humbled Himself to do the will of His Father. So even in that, He teaches us how to live our lives, and where I hope to end up certainly does. So He and His Father are one. Now let me go to Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation chapter 1. So there's many places that we can go to prove that Jesus is God Himself, which to me shows me the only acceptable sacrifice, and it backs up the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, 11th verse, that God is the only Savior. Christ says in the 8th verse of the first chapter of Revelation, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So this is describing Jesus Christ. And to me, the definition of that His being our all in all, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ, even Himself, is the great I Am. It's God Himself. The fact that He came and did what He did. This week, Kathy bought something at a store. She's hung it there in our kitchen, and I can't remember exactly what it says, but we're thankful that we see that we're blessed so much more than we deserve. This morning I was sitting there in our living room. I saw that sign there that's now hanging there, and I thought just sitting here in calmness and peace, knowing what Jesus Christ that God did for me, certainly is the epitome of that saying there, that we're blessed with so much more than we deserve. We did not deserve even to have, if it were, a chance to choose God or Jesus Christ as our Savior. We didn't deserve that, but we did not deserve that one, that God Himself should come and die for our sins. Certainly don't deserve that yet. In Jesus Christ, we have His righteousness and being the Almighty. In Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1, the 19th verse. For it pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. So it pleased the Father that in Jesus Christ should all fullness dwell. Jesus is and was God, and He was God in the flesh there, and He was filled up there. We'll see that He actually emptied Himself in our room instead in order to save us. But it pleased the Father that in Jesus Christ should all fullness dwell. In the 9th verse of that next chapter, chapter 2 in Colossians, it says, For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Paul wrote in many places, proving that Jesus Christ is God, and yet the priesthood of Jesus Christ being our high priest, being our redeemer, that was what He came to do, and that's what He's doing now in being our high priest, touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and yet God sent Him for that. What still boggles my mind is the fact when that eternal covenant of redemption was agreed upon in the Trinity, within God, God knew, Jesus Christ knew at that time what He was going to have to do for us. So I look around at the sin and the depravity, and I think, how in the world no one but God. I go back to Isaiah 43 and 11. God is our only Savior. Only God could do this, would have this within Him to do this for us, for such a people. But that shows, and so that's where I come back to the fact that He will not just let us hang here while we are living our lives, that He is with us. Jesus Christ even is among us because God sacrificed Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, for a people. And so now we so often feel His presence. Even this morning, as Brother Jim expressed, that we felt His presence through the other part of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost, in our singing this morning. And I'm so thankful for that. And so that tells me that God is accepting the sacrifices of our lips this morning. He accepts those, no matter how defective or faulty we may be in those. But it goes through this great Almighty Jesus Christ. That's where our sacrifices enter through to God. Moving on to the other aspect, we know that he is the deity. He is the Godhead, and he never ceased being a deity and the God as he walked this earth. He never laid that down, laid that aside. He always had that there. Hebrews, the second chapter, Hebrews chapter 2. Says in the, I guess around the 13, 14 verses of that second chapter. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So in those verses, we see that he had to become a man himself, yet without sin, we'll see. But he didn't take on the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He became man so that he could save us eternally. But then also we see to be a part of his merciful and faithful high priest. When we say that Jesus Christ has experienced all that we may be tempted here in our lives. And I begin to delve into really simple, foolish things and things that were not invented in his day that are around today that we suffer and all, the technology and so forth. But he certainly, he knows what we suffer today. As our high priest, he can succor them that are tempted. He is close with us in that. When so many things happening today, that as brothers and sisters, as pastors and pastors' wives, as brothers and sisters in the church, we don't know what we need to do to help those around us. But Jesus Christ is able to do that, being our high priest. And so part of this nature that he took upon himself, took on him the seed of Abraham, laying aside his deity. So there is this great mystery that he was 100% man, human, and he was 100% God, and that had to happen. It still amazes me, even if I can't comprehend something in its totality, the logic that's in that, the how God has set all of this up is just amazing to me. Even in our salvation upon the cross and all of the entire Old Testament pointing to that, and how it's just amazing to me. And we're not going to see that. Brother David, I hope you don't mind this. He sent a writing that he did on the subject of fear. There are a couple of different, there were several different kinds of fear, but fearing something physically that we don't want to be hurt or harmed by something. I fear that. But the fear of God, the reverence, the reverential fear that we have, which has to include the love there from God within us, then. And so even in all of that, we're able to understand these things, and we're given these, and then we're given the reassurance that we are children of God. I have to stop and question that so often and take stock, and that's a dangerous thing, but I have to come back to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and the fact that Him being God was able to. And so when I question my salvation, I question His work upon the cross, that blood that was shed. I'm able to reconcile that. But I want to know more. I'm like the Apostle Paul, to know him deeply. So in soul and spirit, those that are there that know these things already and that are awaiting the resurrection of those bodies, that they might be rejoined together with that in completeness, in fullness, because of what Jesus Christ did for us. A great, great blessing in our lives. So he had, in order to pay this debt, man had to pay it. I believe last Sunday mentioned that God did not just throw aside justice. And I believe I brought in raising children and so forth. No, he stood by his justice, but then mercy was there as well. He provided Jesus Christ for us, himself there. Just such a wonderful fact to have the knowledge of in our lives. Now in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians 15... And verse 21 speaks of Christ which is now risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. 20th verse, for since by man came death. By man came death. So Adam was the one that plunged us in that. We can't, if we think, well, this election's not fair, or none of this is fair, and now that I might not be in heaven. Man is the one that plunged us into that. Adam did this. So for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die. There's death right there. In Adam, all die. And even though Christ, Jesus, experienced death, he had to lay down his life. He had to, as it says, give up the ghost. At the moment that he knew in completeness and fullness that every one of those that God gave him had been washed of their sins legally then. And he was able to utter, not just utter, but shout those words, "It is finished," then. That's when he gave up the ghost. That's when he laid down his life. So he did die, but he did not die from sin because he had no sin. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So as man, then, he had to die, and he did that. But as God, then, in Christ, shall all be made alive. Christ told them, Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection. He is the life. He is God. And yet, he came and did the will of his Father. His Father, God Almighty, loved us so much that he sacrificed and gave his only begotten Son, for he so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. What great love that is. And the fact that even now I can tell you that you have that love dwelling within you. You have that now. And yet, with this sin of our father Adam still here, it's veiled. We see, yes, through a glass. We're veiled. Our vision is veiled there. I long for that day when I see in clearness and fullness the love of God that all of this took, because I don't understand it now. Great is the mystery of godliness. Back in Hebrews, the fourth chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, the verse that I quoted at a few minutes ago, the 15th verse, fourth chapter of Hebrews, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." I'm thankful that's not the end of the verse. There's a comma there. "Yet without sin." No matter what some seemingly great intelligent writers may write in trying to reconcile some of this, that Jesus Christ could not have ever committed a sin. He as He walked this earth, He was impeccable. He was tempted in all ways like as we are, yet without sin. He's felt everything. I can't say, I may be able to tell someone here in my life, friends and family members or someone, "Well, you don't know, you don't understand, you don't know what I'm going through, you don't know how I feel." And I certainly don't, I'm on the other end of that. I don't know how people feel when they're experiencing something. Even if the same thing has happened to me in my life, it's a loss of a job, loss of a loved one, whatever it may be, I still don't know. But Jesus Christ knows. He knows because He is God. He was God, and He shed His blood, sacrificed Himself for you. So, and not only does He know what you've been through, and He's able to succor us and hold us up and nurture us and comfort us, He has this great love for us in that. You talk about and I think of our Father God, a parent, that of what He did that shows His love for us. And this is who the song that Kathy selected, "Dripping from the Cross," pointing to the blood that was shed. And there's much I wouldn't say controversy, but discussion on the physical aspects of the event there on the what the blood actually did drip from the cross was shed within Jesus Christ, within His body on the tree and so forth. But that song, the words of it, points us to the blood that was shed for us. That's a good thing for us to think about that there. And so He shed that for us. And so we're reminded of it in the songs that we sing. I believe it's in 1 John, I won't go there, but 1 John the 3rd chapter, around the 5th verse, that He in Him was no sin. There's no sin in Him. There's plenty of places. I think I've covered that. You're supposed to prove by two or three witnesses. I think I've done that. That Jesus Christ is eternal. He was with God before the world began. He is the beginning and the end. Certainly here in time. He is everything which was and will be. He is God. I and my Father are one. He's God, but He's also man. He came in the flesh to do what He had to do. And He still suffered the things. He thirsted. He hungered. He felt physical pain there. He did not have the thoughts that I have when I feel physical pain. When I slam my finger in that car door, I don't know what thoughts I had. I guess I was trying to keep from fainting because I'm weak. But then when we are hurt physically, when someone makes us angry, he did not have those feelings and thoughts there, but he felt the pain. Oh, and when I was a kid, if that was God, I know Jesus was God being nailed to the cross. Well, then why didn't he just command that he wouldn't feel that pain? He's able to do anything, but he was also man. He is human. Not his sinful nature, but he was human. He was in the flesh as far as his body prepared him there. Now, let me go to Philippians, the second chapter, and I'll wrap this up. Second chapter of Philippians. The Apostle Paul here writing to the Philippians and yet writing to us, telling us this. If I could simply live this fifth verse in the second chapter, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Because he was God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God and being in the form of God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That's why no one would look at him, the Hebrew people. He was prophesied of for all those centuries that he is the one, and yet they didn't recognize him. Now, he's not a king. He's a servant, but he humbled himself. He came as a servant. But this where it says he made himself of no reputation, that phrase there in the Greek means to empty yourself out. He emptied himself out of his glory. He laid aside his glory, not his deity. He's still God. But so that to me, it means even more that he didn't lay aside his godhood, his Godhead, the Godhead, but his glory and suffered that being in the form of God, but made himself of no reputation, took him upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a terrible, humiliating death. Besides the physical pain there on the cross of a crucifixion, the suffocation, had he not given up the ghost when he did, then the custom was that they would break the legs, the bones in the legs, so that they could not lift themselves up to take another painful breath. And then they'd suffocate there. But he had already given up the ghost. He knew it. He was all in control because he was deity there. He was God there. And yet he was man suffering those things. He had emptied himself out. That's how I should live. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If I could simply empty myself of these things, of the pride, the vanity, for no other reason, my life, I believe, would be easier, simpler, if I treated everyone as I should. My human nature still here. That's my nature from my father and your father, Adam, is upon me. But we also have the righteousness of God himself in Jesus Christ within us. Because when he finished the work legally, and at some point after I was conceived in my mother's womb, saved, washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ himself, of God himself because he was a man. A body was prepared him, born of a virgin, but yet his Father was God Almighty, was the Godhead himself. And so he came and emptied himself of all of his glory and humbled himself and did the will of his Father and saved us. And that tells me, even Paul there in Philippians 2 and 5 tells me how I should live my life the way Christ lived his life. May God bless and keep you. We'll sing a song now and open the doors of the church. If anyone has a desire to join, you let us know, and then we'll sing a song and